Father God, thank you so much for the gospel that we've heard. Thanks for the hope that you've called us to. Thanks for the immeasurable riches of your grace and kindness to us in Christ. Father, as we read your word today, please help us to grow in our maturity in our Lord Jesus. And we ask all this in his name. Amen. Well, it's been 6 weeks now since we rebooted our Sunday gatherings here at BPC. You'll remember that back in January, we started this year as 8:30 church and morning church and Arvo church and night church. But then in February, we became church at 9 and church at 10:30 and church at 6. I think there's been lots of exciting things about that. I hope there's lots of things you're excited about. I've been really encouraged by seeing so many people discovering new and creative ways to serve in our church families. That's been really wonderful. How are you feeling about how church is going this year? I hope you're excited. You might, though, be feeling a little lost. You might be feeling like there's unanswered questions. That's okay. If you're feeling that way, love to help you with that. But changing up our Sunday gatherings this year has given all of us the chance to think about what it means to be part of a church community. What does it mean for us to be church at 10:30? What do we do at church at 10:30? What's the part that you're playing in our church family? The changes that have happened this year make this part of Ephesians quite timely for us, and I think quite helpful. Because in this part of Ephesians that Lizzie just read out for us, we get to see some of the practicalities of being God's people, some of the practicalities of what it looks like to be God's church. The Apostle Paul is going to help us see how it is that we live a life worthy of our calling as the people of Jesus. Now, Paul's going to do that by touching on three things: our unity, our diversity, and our maturity, all of which is going to be helpful for us as we think about how we play our part in church at 10:30 this year. Let's have a look. It all starts, chapter 4, verse 1, with what is really key and pivotal verse in the whole book of Ephesians. So have a look at 4 verse 1. This is right in the middle of the book now, and this is a big pivot point. Verse 1. Paul says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received." So what Paul's doing here is he's introducing a bit of a new topic for us. Up until now, in this letter, chapters 1 and 2 and 3, it's been all about the glorious riches that are ours in Christ Jesus. I'm sure you remember lots of what we've covered in the first three chapters. The book started with that fire hose of blessings that are ours in Christ. That was chapter 1. Paul talked about how we were dead in our sin, but now we've been made alive in Christ. That was in chapter 2. We were far from Christ, God, but we've been brought near in Christ. And then in chapter 3, it all really reached dizzying heights when Paul told us that a church like us here at BPC, in all our weakness and messiness, the fact that we've been united together in Christ as the people of God, that means that as a church, we put God's genius on display to the universe. That's extraordinary, isn't it? As a church, we put God's manifold wisdom on display to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. We read that last week. And so now Paul says, because of all of that, because of all those blessings that are ours in Christ, the rest of the book of Ephesians is now about living a life worthy of that calling. Everything that comes from now on, there's going to be lots of instructions on how Christians ought to live. But they're not instructions on how to be saved. It's how to live because we have been saved. Live a life worthy of your calling. It's a little daunting though, isn't it, really? How do we, here at church at 10:30, how do we live in a way that puts God's manifold wisdom on display to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms? Well, how do we do that? It feels a bit like someone coming up to you and saying, could you please go and make Taylor Swift famous? Like, how do you do that? How do you put God's brilliance on display to the universe? Paul's going to tell us. The first thing to notice is that Paul addresses us as individuals, not as individuals, but as a community of believers. Before anything else, we had to think of ourselves in relation to each other so as to keep our unity. So have a look at verse 2. Verse 2. Paul says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." 7 times Paul uses the word one. We share one rescue through the death of one Lord Jesus. Therefore, we're one family. Our unity defines us. At BPC, we're not immune from division or tension. In fact, family is where we get personal and we open ourselves up to each other. That's when we're vulnerable to hurt and irritation. But our unity should be like a fire blanket. We've got a fire blanket just around the corner in the kitchenette there, little health and safety announcement for you. If there was ever a fire, that fire blanket can smother it. It can suffocate the flames and it keeps us safe. Our unity in Christ does the same. In Christ, we are a new humanity. And our unity in Christ smothers division and hostility. Which is not to say that we sweep our differences under the carpet or we ignore them. We don't do that. It's just that our unity in Christ, as Paul says there, it leads us to make every effort to be completely humble and gentle with each other and patient and loving and listening and kind and caring. Now, there's going to be times when it's really hard to keep the unity of the Spirit, and that's why Paul says we've got to make every effort. But as we work hard to keep our unity, there's great encouragement coming up because the risen Lord Jesus has given us gifts to help us. And that's where our diversity comes in. Have a look at verse 7. Verse 7, Paul says, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." We might be united, but we're not all the same. We're not clones. Christ has intentionally given us diverse gifts of grace. Now, if you read verses 8, 9, and 10, Paul gets quite poetic and he reminds us that Jesus died, but he's risen. He sits with God in the heavenly places and he fills the universe. And in his supremacy, Christ has given gifts to his people. Verse 11. "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." Jesus himself gives us people to teach and proclaim the gospel. Notice that all of those people in that list, they teach and proclaim the gospel. And Jesus gives us those people so that each and every one of us is equipped to serve. So that all of us here at church at 10:30 can contribute to building up our church. Jesus has given us apostles like Paul, who wrote Ephesians, and he's given us pastors and teachers and small group leaders, Kids for Jesus leaders, and youth group and kids club and junior drivers leaders. He's given us elders, people who read the Bible up the front like Lizzie did before, people who lead the singing. He's given us SRE teachers. He's given us people who invite their friends to Christianity Explored. But the thing is, it's not just those people who do ministry. Jesus gives us those people to speak the gospel so that all of us are equipped for works of service. To live a life worthy of our calling, we all use our Jesus-given diversity to serve. Paul's making the point that there's no spectators in church. Church is not like going to a big bash game. You know, you go to the cricket or you go to the footy or whatever, you get your ticket, you go, you enjoy the thrill, and then you're done. Someone else does all the sweating. Someone else does all the huffing and puffing. Someone else does all the hard work. Someone else does all the early mornings, the lifetime of dedication to the game, the training. You just enjoy it. Church is not like that. Church is more like an orchestra that you're part of. Church is a big group of different people playing different notes on different instruments, lots of different things going on. But when it all comes together, there's this wonderful harmony and a unity that displays the beautiful creativity of the composer. The composer of our church is God. And when we all play our different part, then we put his manifold wisdom on display. What's the part that you're playing here in church at 10:30? Some of us are good musicians. Some of us can gather a team and coordinate things. Some of us are outgoing and just really good at welcoming newcomers. Some of us are really thoughtful and caring, and we're good at noticing when someone needs something. Some of us, lots of us, are just convicted to go out of our comfort zones to do something for someone, to include and encourage people. But through the gospel being proclaimed here at BPC, all of us are equipped and all of us have different ways and all of us have different opportunities to serve one another. So we live a life worthy of our calling when we use our Jesus-given diversity to serve. And when we do that, it makes our church grow in maturity. Our growing in maturity pops up in verse 13. I'm going to read it, but I'm actually going to start at verse 11 because otherwise I'm starting halfway through a sentence. So verse 11, but notice the maturity in verse 13. Paul says, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We live a life worthy of our calling by growing in maturity, by reaching the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It's a picture of growing in our understanding of Jesus, growing in our appreciation for who Jesus is, for what Jesus has done, growing in our joy for all the blessings of being his people, and not just individually, but all of us together growing. We grow in our maturity by speaking the gospel to each other. I'm going to read now from verse 14. As we read it, just notice what is the thing that makes our church grow in maturity. Verse 14. Then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we'll grow to become in every respect the mature body of Christ. From Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. What's the thing that we do to grow in maturity together? We speak the truth in love. We speak gospel truth with gospel love to each other. Jesus has given us many diverse ways that we can do that. We've been doing it, all of us, together already this morning as we've been singing together. We've been proclaiming the wonderful truth of the gospel to each other. You can speak the truth in love by preaching, by praying, by turning up to your small group. You can speak the truth in love by teaching your kids about Jesus. You can speak the truth in love by encouraging our gospel partners around the world. You can speak the truth in love by having a conversation about the Bible over morning tea a little bit later. You can speak the truth in love by asking a kid what they learnt in Kids for Jesus. Every time you use your words to bring up the topic of the gospel, BPC grows in maturity. Doesn't matter who you are, what age you are, what stage of life you're in, if you belong to Jesus, this is your ministry. This is our ministry. Speak the gospel. It doesn't have to be rehearsed. You don't have to have any special qualifications except having heard the gospel yourself. Just talk about Jesus. Build one another up in knowledge and love of the Lord. You can level up your contribution to our church family by doing this, just by adding gospel words to the things you already do. If you catch up with a friend for a coffee every week, that's awesome. Why not read a chapter of Ephesians while you're at it? Do you go out of your way to make non-Christian friends? That is fantastic. Why not pray for them and invite them along to Christianity Explored? Because every time you talk about Jesus, it actually grows our whole church in maturity in Christ. That's pretty exciting. It's the engine room of our church life. It's what makes us tick here at church at 10:30. Because, you know, it's possible that we could look like a church and we could do all sorts of church-like things and we could look very busy without speaking the gospel to each other at all. But that would be very far from the kind of church Christ intends us to be. The picture that Paul uses in that last verse to describe church, it's the picture of a body. It's a really good picture. Your body needs things to grow and stay healthy. It needs food and warmth and shelter. And so all the parts of your body work together to get those things so that your body grows. And without each part of your body playing its part, your body will become weak and sick and knocked around. For our church body to grow strong and healthy and mature, what we need is the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Without that, Ephesians 4:14 says our church body won't grow, and in fact we will be weak and tossed about. And so every part of BPC, every member of Church at 10:30, we work together so that our church body gets the gospel it needs. All of us have a different part to play in that, but we are all one body. And by speaking the truth in love, we keep our unity and we use our diversity and we grow in maturity. And as we do that together, BPC puts God's wisdom and grace and mercy on display. As we speak the truth in love, we live a life worthy of our calling. I'll pray. God, our Father, thank you so much for uniting us in Christ. Thank you for his death and resurrection that saves us. Thank you, Father, for graciously giving us diverse opportunities to contribute to the life and health of our church. Please help us to speak gospel truth in gospel love, so that we might grow in our maturity in Christ, so that here at Church at 10:30, we would together live a life worthy of our calling. Amen.